Now, let's talk some brackets. Mm-hmm. Joe Rexroad is on the line with us, and he called our show last week under an assumed name that we figured out. We uncovered the scandal very quickly. We knew it was him. But now here we are. The brackets are out there, and so we have some more questions for Joe. Joe, thanks for coming on with us.
Yes, Joe from Nolensville here. I'm hoping I can become a regular contributor, and yes, good to be with you guys.
All right, Joe, let's hit you with the zinger that we kicked around, D-Mace and I did yesterday when the brackets came out, and that was among the teams, take Tennessee out of the mix and look at the draw for Auburn, Alabama, and Kentucky, and tell me who you think has the best path to go deep into the tournament. And we put that as a deep run to the Final Four. Not win the national championship, but go deep to the Final Four.
Okay, so Auburn, you said Auburn, Alabama, and Kentucky.
Yes.
So first of all, let me apologize up front because I'm the genius who decided to drive to Charlotte. So I am driving right now. So I can't examine these paths as we speak.
Okay.
But I'm familiar with them. So, well, I'll tell you my final.
Okay, let me give you the questions one by one, and that will arrive at your answer. Okay, would we say, number one, yep, Auburn is a 4 seed, even though they're in the top 5 overall in the KenPom is ridiculous after winning the SEC tournament? How are they a 4 seed?
Yeah, well, look, I don't disagree. I thought that they would bump themselves up to a 3. You know, as we kind of discussed last week, unless there's a need for a contingency bracket, you're done helping yourself for the most part on Saturday.
I hate that.
You know, which is why, well, yeah, I do too, but it's why all these leagues, you know, so like the SEC and the Big Ten, they stay Sunday because that's TV inventory that's valuable, but it doesn't help the teams. They play a day later than like the ACC teams and the Big 12 teams. Or no, Big 12. Big 12 is also done Saturday. And then they also don't get the benefit. I agree. They got hosed a little bit. And they to me, have the hardest road because they go through – I mean, I think there are two teams in this tournament that are the clear favorites, and that's in my opinion, Purdue and UConn. And I understand Purdue's history, but I'm picking Purdue to win it. I've believed it all year, and I'm sticking with it. But UConn and Boston is a heck of an assignment. Also, I think, guys, that would be – if I could pick a game – to watch in this tournament, that's probably my game. Auburn against UConn, I think, will be an absolute slugfest. And if Auburn wins, I'm not batting an eyelash. But I have to say they have the toughest path of those teams.
I would agree. And so now let's get to Kentucky. So Auburn as the 4 seed in UConn's region, you would have to beat them in the Sweet 16 just to get to the Final 8. Let alone to the Final Four. That's a tough road for sure. So let's go to Kentucky, a 3 seed. They're in the same bracket as Houston, who did look a little bit more beatable late in the season there, but still a very, very talented team for sure. What about Kentucky's draw?
Well, I'll tell you this. Again, I picked them to go to the Final Four, but Oakland can beat Kentucky right off the bat. And I'm a little biased because I love some Golden Grizzlies basketball, my guy Greg Campy. But Oakland has shooting and scoring, and they usually do. I mean, they're not a great defensive team. That's typically how Oakland teams are under Greg Campy. But they can score the basketball at a high level, and it just comes down to, you know, I mean, it really is going to come down to, it's a make or miss game there for me. They're both going to get really good shots. And, of course, Kentucky's talent is – it's one of the most talented backcourts I've seen. Certainly, like, I mean, the freshman alone, and then you throw in Reeves and what he's doing. But I picked them because I think they're going to get on a roll offensively, and I just trust, when it comes down to it, guys, I trust offensively potent teams over defensive teams. Which is why I don't have Tennessee or Houston in my Final Four, because I just worry about those droughts that those teams are prone to. But I think Kentucky's draw overall is not terrible, but you know they got to get that first one and get rolling.
I mean, I guess even with that, Joe, I mean, yes, Kentucky can outscore just about anybody in the country, if not anybody in the country. But I mean, these are one-offs, and if you're not playing at least good defense, which Kentucky has not played all season, yes, they can put the ball in the basket, but we even saw in the SEC tournament, when the ball's not falling in the basket for you and you're not playing defense, you have no shot at winning. I don't care how good your team is. Kentucky has a damn good team. And for all intents and purposes, they should be in the Final Four, but they don't play defense like that.
So here's the only thing I would push back on is they haven't played bad D all year. In fact, the game at Auburn, they played fantastic defense. I don't know where that came from, but they went up to Auburn, which is a very hard place to win, and they played, like, if they can play that defense, and honestly, if they can play defense the way they played at Tennessee, it wasn't great, but it was fine. So that they have examples of being able to do it. You're right, they didn't play great defense against Texas A&M. I mean, those guards for A&M can get cooking, but Kentucky does have rim protection. I mean, they got tons of rim protection. They got seven-footers all over the place, and I'm just expecting on this stage when it really, really matters that they're going to turn it on like they have a few times this year. And I could be wrong, but that's what I'm expecting.
Okay, beside Tennessee, beside Kentucky, we talked about Tennessee. Looking at the SEC, and I'm looking at this Alabama game, honestly. I know Alabama.
Yeah, because that's the team we haven't hit.
Exactly. But Charleston scares me. In one of my brackets, I did pick Charleston to upset.
One of your
Alabama.
Brackets. Now, how many brackets?
I'm only filling out two. I'm only filling out two. That's it.
Joe, are you a one bracket guy or multiple brackets?
Yeah, I just do one. I'm a one guy. Stick with it.
I do both. I do two because I do, you know, obviously the one for work, and then I do a separate one.
But you fill out different paths.
Yeah,
in both.
But for the majority of it, it's all really the same with the few here and there. And the few here and there to me is that first round matchup with Alabama and Charleston.
I'm worried for them. You know, talk about bad defense, and it's really interesting too because. Nate Oates has had in the last few years, he's had a couple teams that ended up top five in defensive efficiency. So when he's had the guys who want to guard, like he wants to play defense. They're supposed to play defense. I mean, all he basically said after their loss in the SEC tournament when they got just run off the floor is, we'll see. We'll see if these guys want to play D. And that just worries me, you know. And I don't think they quite have the offensive balance to offset it. I know they were number one in offensive efficiency for a lot of this season. Yeah. That actually didn't change until Tennessee went in and shut them down. But I don't know. I know Reitzel was hurt and he's back, and maybe that makes more of an impact this weekend. But I think absolutely Charleston is an upset pick to watch against Alabama.
They've given up 100 three different times, Alabama has, in the final I don't know, two or three weeks of the season, against Kentucky, against Florida, both on the road, and then in the SEC tournament again against Florida. Giving up 100, that doesn't sound like a great path, but they can score 100, that's for sure.
Right.
All right, so I want to – D-Mates, let's have the Sparty talk. Okay. You and Joe, let's get it out there, the Michigan State guys. Let's get it going.
I mean, and this is why, Joe, I have two brackets. Because one of my brackets is filled out from the heart. And then the other bracket is filled out with my head, okay?
Okay, that makes sense.
After watching Michigan State all season, and listen, they've been in games, and they've lost a lot of close games. But this is not an Izzo team that we're accustomed to seeing for whatever reason. Some nights they look like one of the best teams in the Big Ten, but in other nights they look like one of the worst teams in the Big Ten. How far do you expect this Spartan team to go? Now, they have Mississippi State to start off, but they're also in the same bracket with North Carolina. So if they do get past Mississippi State, their next opponent more than likely will be North Carolina.
Okay, here's a hot take for you. I like their chances considerably better against North Carolina than I do against Mississippi State. So,
why is that?
So first of all, I'm excited to see them, mostly to see some of my MSU writer buddies here in Charlotte. So I'm getting to see them up close. I've been forced to watch Michigan State a lot this year, because of my kids. And I got to say, D-Mace, I just think they're a hard team to watch. It's not one of his better teams. You know, they're bad at center. I mean, they don't have a center. And the young guys aren't playing much yet. They had a huge recruiting class, but he's gone with the older guys. I think if anybody who watched what Mississippi State did to Tennessee, that's not a great shooting team. They can be a very offensively stodgy team, but they have length everywhere, length and athleticism. That length bothered Tennessee, and that length will really bother Michigan State. I really like Mississippi State in that game. And Tolu Smith, too. I mean, he's Michigan State centers are going to have a hard time with him. So I like Mississippi State. I like Mississippi State to potentially – I would give both of those MSUs – it's the battle of who gets to be called MSU. I would give both MSUs a real chance. And I know it's going to be a home game for North Carolina. And, look, North Carolina has been a great team this year. But I think that either team could beat them. But especially if it's Michigan State, because, as you know, D-Mates, Tom Izzo, no one's ever been better than him in this tournament on the short turnaround, on the two-day turnaround in a lot of cases pulling upsets over higher seeds. With that quick turnaround, he's got an incredible formula for scouting and preparing for an opponent, coming up with a game plan. And I do think that you got a chance for Sparty to be in the Sweet 16, but they're going to have to shoot the heck out of the basketball from outside.
Yeah, like, Walker and Hoger, they got to be on.
Yeah. Like, all their shooters have to shoot like crazy, I think, for them to beat Mississippi State.
I agree with both of you that I think North Carolina is the most gettable of the one seeds. And so when I see that 8-9, that's the 8-9 game that I prefer to be in if I'm Michigan State or Mississippi State, because I think North Carolina can be beat. I think they're good, but they're beatable. So, Joe, let's look at Tennessee, who didn't get that one seed. Instead, they're the 2. What do you think of their draw overall, where they are?
Well, I think it's pretty good. You know, when they lost to Kentucky and then lost to Mississippi State, I'm like, well, they blew the one seed, and now they're going to be in the East with UConn. They're going to be the 2. And when they didn't get that, to me, that's the best. The best scenario is still, to me, the 1 with Arizona as your 2. That's their best path to the Final Four. Now, I do think, actually, the West in other spots is a little tougher than the Midwest. I think the Midwest is the easiest region overall, and I like the draw. I do think, now, if they get to Creighton in the Sweet 16, that's a team with, you know, a 7-2 center and a lot of length, and that's a tough matchup. But it's certainly a game that they can win if they play their best. That's the question to me, guys. Can they find their best basketball? I know it's only been 2 games. But the last game was terrible basketball, and they really kind of just gave out in that game, got punched in the mouth and didn't fight back much, and that's concerning. Their role players are slumping from outside. That's concerning. I think that, look, if they can get it going, I think they can absolutely get to that Purdue game if it is Purdue. And, look, Purdue and Tennessee both. The tournament history for both of these coaches suggests that either one of them could easily not get there. If they do get there, I think you would be talking about an unbelievable game in Detroit to get to the Final Four. And they played a great game in Maui, a 4-point win for Purdue a few months ago. Zach Edey dominated Jonas Adu. They would need that to be, they need the gap to be closed there a little bit. Adu is a huge, huge factor in this tournament. So, They really need James, Vescovy, and Gainey. They need at least one of those guys to kind of get cooking, and if they could just get 2 of them to hit a few shots, I think everything else falls into place for them.
They're capable to get hot for a tournament for sure. But I think that's a point that, Joe, you brought up earlier in the season that I kind of filed away, and then when I started watching for it, I saw it more that as great as Connect is, in a give me the ball, everybody clear out space, and he'll just make it happen, or set the high screen and he makes it happen. I just don't know that that has flowed real well on some nights, even if Connect ends up with a lot of points. They've won some games where Connect didn't go off. Mm-hmm. They've lost some games where he had 40 points, right? But
yeah.
I still don't know that it meshes real well on a nightly basis where I'm like, that's a well-oiled machine. Would you agree?
I would. You know, the one game where it was incredible. And it's, again, a team I think is good enough to win it all, too, is Auburn. In that game, the give it to Dalton, get out of the way, that's the only way they were winning that game. And he, to his credit, he everything they tried, and sometimes they did double and take the ball out of his hands, so you get it to Adu in the middle, and he's good at making a play with an advantage. But for the most part, it was either connect hitting threes or dunking, right? But I agree, like, they're just a lot better when he's in the flow of the offense, getting shots. Yeah, I mean, when it comes down to it, low on the shot clock, get it to him in the post. But the possessions where it's basically like the whole possession is, the point is, we're going to run him down the baseline, and he's going to cut off, and he's either going to pop off a screen or he's going to high post it, and then we're going to get out of the way and stand there. I don't think you want to do a lot of that, you know, like end of a game or something, and it's like rather than try to even mess with the set, he's cooking, okay, fine. For the most part, though, they need to run their offense, and they need it to be a little bit more balanced. You know, you can get 25 points or so from him and a little bit more balance around the lineup, and they can play at the tempo they prefer, which is way faster this year than they've ever played under Rick Barnes. That to me is the formula.
Yeah, to me, I just think for UT, it not only has to be connect, it has to be, they have to find that second and third score. Now, they have guys that can score, but it just seems like, it seems like sometimes they're waiting on Dalton connect.
Yeah, to stand around a little bit.
They tend to do it too much, standing around sometimes, watching him. And it can be, you know, it can be beneficial at times, but then it can hurt them, especially when you're in the tournament. Now, during the season, you can do that. But when you're in a tournament, it's one game elimination. There has to be someone else that if the connect's not hitting, we need at least one or two other scorers that we can depend on. And who are those one or two other scorers going to be, Joe?
Well, most of the year it's been Connect and Ziegler, right? Uh-huh. I mean, Ziegler, since he's kind of found his game, he's been really good. And then the third guy is usually Adu. So that to me is, I think you can count on Ziegler for sure. Hit some shots, run the team. You got to have a great point guard in March. I think he's a great point guard. Sometimes he gets outside himself, takes some risks you don't want to take. But for the most part, I think that's your 1-2 punch. And when it's a 1-2-3 with Adu, now they're in good shape. And a lot of games they've had that. Then to me, it's who's the fourth guy? Just a hit of, because look, if those three guys are playing like they can, there's just going to be open looks in the corner for some of those other guys, Vescovy, James, and Ganey, and they've got to hit a few, you know, just keep people honest. But, yeah, I think maybe, like, if I had to pick someone, like, to play well every night, I would pick Adu because he can score it. He can hit that mid-range. He can score inside with both hands. He's a rim protector. He's really worked hard to be a better rebounder. And, you know, he did not play well in the last game against Tolu Smith. They need him to come out and give him that so they can pound it in the post a little bit, too, when they need one. Awaka, pound it in the post to him. Get a couple buckets, you know. They've got all the pieces to win six games. They really do. But lately, they haven't all been functioning all that well.
All right, Joe, before we let you go and drive safely to Charlotte, give me your quick take on what you see for the Vanderbilt search right now. What is your formula you think they should follow here?
Well, you know, after I read Brendan Quinn from The Athletic wrote a piece on Will Wade today, which is really fascinating, and he's just completely embraced the villain role. He's from Nashville. Go get Will Wade. Go get Will Wade.
That's not happening. They're not going to get Will Wade.
I know. That's another hot take for you. No, I know they're not going to. But it's going to be really interesting to watch his career, because if you can win like he can win and coach like he can coach, and now it's a totally different, you know, landscape. I think it's going to be someone in the high major realm is going
right
to grab him.
But he's got a show cause, Joe. I people don't seem to put that on the headline. But when you have a show cause for a year, that doesn't make you very hireable, I think, at this level, especially at Vanderbilt. So it's not going to happen. So it's not worth discussing. So beyond that.
Right. I think Chris Mack is – I think it's worth the exploration. It's a name that's popped up a lot.
Okay, are you worried about the baggage there, about the whatever happened, that I don't know all the specifics of the this extortion or whatever that got him fired, and they were losing as well against at Louisville?
Absolutely. I mean, all that stuff has to be closely vetted. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that went on there that, you know, that wasn't great. That makes him a little not to the level of a Will Wade radioactive, but a little bit. So absolutely. But I still think that's worth vetting, worth looking at. I mean, I like Schertz a lot from Indiana State, so I believe he's going to St. Louis. If I'm correct, I don't know if that's official yet, but it looks like that way. Abdul Rahim is, I think, a really enticing possibility. I think Kelsey at Charleston, who we just mentioned, you know, playing Alabama, I think that's an absolute name that you have to look at. And look, I'm big on Casey Alexander, guys. I am. I mean, I know, you know, Belmont hasn't had the wild success the last couple of years. They've moved up, and I think they've held their own pretty well in the MVC, and it's been really tough at the portal with him. Now, you know, the portal giveth and taketh away. He got an elite D a year ago for Vanderbilt, and now he's back in the portal. Casey Alexander is an outstanding coach, and I think sometimes schools like Vanderbilt, it's like you don't want to just look in your backyard. It doesn't, you know, it almost seems like you're settling for something. But I hope they resist that urge. I think Casey got maybe a courtesy call when they hired Jerry Stackhouse, and I don't think they seriously looked at him. They need to seriously look at him. I think he can hang in there with anyone on this list that you want to name. And talk about someone who knows the lay of the land of high school recruiting in the state of Tennessee. I mean, he's ready to go right now. So those are the names that come immediately to mind.
I'm with you on that front. I think they should take a hard look at Casey Alexander, which they have not done before. And they never did with Rick Byrd or even going back before Don Meyer. And I think it's time. I think Casey Alexander has done enough that they should take a long look at him for sure. Joe, we're way past the clock here. We have ignored it. The suit's going to get on us. Yeah. He's going to give us a slap on the wrist. But we've enjoyed talking to Joe. Joe, have a safe travel. Enjoy the March Madness, and we'll talk to you when you get back.
Okay, guys. It was fun. Thanks for having me.
All right. Hopefully we sped up Joe's drive. You know, yeah. You got to kill time when you're on the highway, right? Might as well talk to us.
He probably covered about 20 miles.
Exactly. Well, I don't know how – if he drives as fast as you, D-Mace.
Maybe 40.
Maybe 40.